My name is Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Go up and see them. They got a great selection of John Deere products right now. They also handle the Ego line of lawn care products, and they've got a full selection of electric riders, zero turns, handheld stuff. I mean, they got it all. Great inventory right now, ready for spring, so go up and see them. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake, right in between Oasis Road and Pine Grove exits. Or you can give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226. Or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com. There you go.
Oh, yeah, I was supposed to do it the right way.
Yeah, come on.
Sorry, I blew it. I was all excited. I was all excited to talk about our guest. Okay, so we have a really fun show today. There's a book that came out on the 9th of this month. So today is, what, April 21st, 2024. And on the 9th, a book called Arabella came out. The prominent photo on the front is George Soros, the guy everybody loves to hate. The subtitle on the book is The Dark Money Network of Leftist Billionaires Secretly Transforming America. So if you can't listen to the whole show or something interrupts you or you want to send it to somebody else, you can always go to the website, wethepeopleradio.us, and there is a commercial-free archive that will come up this afternoon. It's free to listen to, free to send it to people. You can download it. It's an MP3 file, and we hope you will make wide use of it and distribution. We have no copyright on that. We do it as a service to the public, actually. It's funny when you pay for service to the public, but it's good. It's a good thing to do. So Scott Walter, he is the president of the Capital Research Center, and it's capital with an A, not an O like Washington, D.C. So the Capital Research Center, and he's author of the new book, Arabella, The Dark Money Network of Leftist Billionaires Secretly Transforming America. Just in case you thought that was all a rumor, by the way, that'll be dispelled today. He served in the George W. Bush administration as the special assistant to the president for domestic policy and was vice president at the Philanthropy Roundtable, editing Philanthropy Magazine and producing donor guidebooks on assistance to the poor, public policy research, and other topics. Walter has testified to 5 different congressional committees about Arabella and related subjects and about dark money nonprofits in the U.S. Senate, IRS, and state legislatures. Walter is a frequent media guest who has appeared on major radio and television programs like ours, right? Nationwide.
That's right.
He has written for Way to go. Way to go, hapless sidekick. He's written for and been quoted in outlets like the New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, and the Chronicle of Philanthropy. He's a Georgetown graduate and lives with his wife and 4 kids in Virginia. So
yeah, there you go. If you think you knew George Soros was like funding a lot of stuff, doing bad things for the country, you don't know the half of it.
Yeah, today's the day.
Pick up this book. This book is amazing.
So Scott, sounds like maybe we have something funky going on with your phone, or maybe not.
Oh, I hope not.
Oh, yep. There's something funky going on with your phone. Uh oh.
Got the earphone.
Hey.
Oh, there you go.
Whoops. Yeah, it's just something funky. We'll figure it on the break. Well, I know that your amazing publicist, Stephen Manfredi, who always sends us just the most interesting people, sent us a list of questions, and Bill does have those, but we always kind of like to give you the option to shoot from wherever you'd like to begin, because this is really a great book.
Well, I appreciate that. Maybe the first thing to say is just, who or what is Arabella? How about that?
Absolutely.
That's a great place.
We didn't want to blow anything. We decided to stick with what we knew, which was like only the stuff we read about in your book.
It probably helps everybody to know what Arabella is to start with before we start getting into the billionaires who use it and the rest. So the easiest way to think of the Arabella Empire, right, is that it's a network, a whole network of groups. Now, visualize a pyramid. Okay, at the top of the pyramid, you have Arabella Advisors, which is a for-profit consulting firm, PR firm, Beltway Bandit, they say in D.C., right? It's at the top, and it creates everything down below. The next is in the middle of the pyramid. You have half a dozen nonprofits of different legal types. And then at the base of the pyramid, you have what ordinary Americans see, right? The hundreds and hundreds of groups that are created by the two higher levels. So you have things like Floridians for a Fair Shake and Opportunity Wisconsin and Secure Michigan Elections. And they all sound swell, and they all sound like it's your neighbors in whatever state you're in doing this, when in fact it's some poor schmuck in a D.C. office creating a website and an accounting code for this thing that looks like a grassroots group.
Yeah, I like the Recreational Trails Project, I think it's
called. Oh, yeah.
That one, you know, it makes it sound like they're going to help us make trails, and
that was the big one at the beginning.
At the beginning, yeah, and it's like, okay, so the name is not always indicative of what they're all about.
No, that's right, and that's a beautiful example. So that's in the state of Montana, right? And what happened was, this is all the way back in around 08, when they're just getting started. So folks in Montana, right, they have ATVs and they have motorbikes, and they like to go on their trails in their beautiful woods and, you know, ride around and have fun, right? Now, I can't imagine why anybody else would be upset about this or try to muck with them, right? But bizarrely enough, there are very rich people in the East Coast who want to go harass poor guys on a trail in the boonies backwoods of Montana. Right? Now, nobody in Montana says, hey, I want to mess up those cocktail parties for the New Yorkers, Jane Meyer, talking about dark money on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, right? They don't do that in Montana. But on the Upper East Side of Manhattan or in downtown D.C., they do want to muck with the poor guys just driving around in the woods, right? So that was one of the very first things they did, and it's just so classic. These people have never been to Montana, certainly never been on an ATV on a trail. You know, but by God, they were going to harass those poor guys.
So why were they a target? Is it just the environmental angle? What was the reasoning behind it?
Well, theoretically, yes, it's concern for the environment, right? But as the great historian Paul Johnson, British historian. His specialty was totalitarianism in the 20th century, right? His most famous book was Modern Times, History of the 20th Century. And decades ago, he made the point that environmentalism makes Marxist-Leninism look nice because, Marxist-Leninists were going to take over the factories and whatnot, right? But not every single detail of your life, whereas environmentalists actually have an excuse to be far more invasive to every stitch of clothing you wear, you know, you're breathing out of carbon dioxide, or you're riding on an ATV, right? Marx wouldn't have cared if you were riding on an ATV.
No.
But environmentalists have a reason to care. So, the pattern here is ever more control, power, and money for a tiny elite, very alien to the rest of the country, and ever less actual freedom for you out there in flyover land.
Right. And Arabella, I mean, I'm pretty sure probably 99% of the people out there have never heard of it. When it made the scene, the ripples it was making, people were like, well, who are these guys? What is this? Where did they, where and how did they get their start, so to speak?
45 questions.
Sure. they are officially launched in a small way in 2005 by a guy who had he grew up rich. His family, when he was young, sold the family business for hundreds of millions of dollars. By the way, it was totally fossil fuel connected. It was an auto parts business, right? Mm-hmm. You can't make this stuff up. That sort of got him thinking about philanthropy and the rest. And he had been radicalized in college by an environmentalist guru. We can talk more about the guru. He's a real sicko. This guy starts it in a small way in 05. Now, as best we can tell, the very first sugar daddy for the operation, that is to say, you know, super rich guy who's really starting to pump money into it, that would be this guy you've definitely not heard of, but the left has a lot of George Soroses, and he's one of the other Soroses. His name is Hans-Jürg Wyss, and he is a Swiss billionaire, a foreign national, therefore forbidden from meddling in American politics, theoretically. And so the first year that Arabella breaks through the $1 million mark in revenues is 08, and they take in $1.7 million. And a million of that, so more than half, comes from old Hans-Jürg. Now, since then, he has put in $250 million into the Arabella network. So he is one of the, not the single biggest, but one of the biggest of their donors, and certainly the longest of their mega donors.
So just in case we, we have people who go, oh, well, this is silly. Why would a guy do that? Maybe we ought to address that a little. Well, why would he do that?
Well,
we can't really definitively, but based on your research, why do you think he's silly?
So there's various answers to that. One answer is he, too, claims to be a big environmentalist. Right, he actually lives in Wyoming, despite being not having a passport or even a green card from the U.S. Mostly lives in Wyoming, and lots of his funding has been in environmentalism, for environmentalist causes, although many, many other things as well. And the other reason is that Arabella helps to mask what somebody's really doing. So this guy, this Swiss billionaire, he already has a U.S. foundation, it's a private foundation like the Ford Foundation or Rockefeller Foundation. And he has a 501c4 political nonprofit. Now, C4s are things like the National Rifle Association or League of Conservation Voters, political nonprofits. He has both those things.
As a non-citizen?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes. Okay. Well, in and of itself, right, as far as that goes, that's permitted, right? What's not permitted is for him to do things like, write a check to a politician's campaign or write a check to a super PAC. Now, he did do that, actually, for a while. He gave over $100,000 in they call it hard dollars, right, where you're giving it to candidates, committees, one of them being Friends of Dick Durbin. That's my favorite of his recipients. But that's wildly illegal. Unfortunately, nobody caught that until after the statute of limitations had expired. But you can still go to the Federal Election Commission database of donors and look, put his name in and find them all. Though he tried to pretend this wasn't true for a good while. But the thing is, why does he need to give money, right, to other places? Well, one possibility, again, he claims this does not occur, but one possibility is his 501c4 gives to one of Arabella's 501c4s. Now, we don't know what the Arabella C4 does with it, right? They say that they don't give that money to super PACs, but they give many, many millions of dollars to super PACs. So who knows, right? So there's another possible answer.
So his money is just kind of washed in with all the rest
of it. Yeah, they just wash it in with all these other foundations that they've created. Is that right?
Well, while all of our listeners are switching to decaf, we have to take a really quick break, and we'll be right back. I need to let you guys know. Let's see. I want to make sure I get it all right. The book is called Arabella, A-R-A-B-E-L-L-A. And it is written by Scott Walter, and he is our hostage for the next 2 hours. You're going to learn a lot. You can find everything about that with the link to the book and all that stuff at wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them when they move into your neighborhood? They take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Your body, then they go. What shall we do about them?
To be free to keep what I earn, to decide what my kids learn. What I consume shouldn't be the lawman's concern.
Got a hot tip. It's not just Big Brother keeping you in line. this web, Scott, this also pops up as I just got this thing from a lady yesterday. WeThePeople2.com. Join us in sending petitions to all your legislature, blah, 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 blah. And so I always look at the bottom, you know, who's sending it. And it, after about five different iterations, I never was able to get down to who it was that had created this. Is that sometimes what their stuff looks like?
Yes. Again, a whole lot of this, the way this sort of thing operates, is you have to think of the Wizard of Oz, right? So Dorothy goes in and there's this big, scary, impressive-looking thing, right? And only at the end you discover, oh, it's just some guy behind a curtain with a microphone. So, you know, that is a very standard thing in fraudulent politics. And Arabella does it superbly well. They're not the only ones, but they certainly are accomplished at it.
Yeah, and it's no small town game. I mean, they're operating with billions now. Is that right?
I can rattle off a couple of those numbers for you. In 2020... Right, the 2020 cycle, so the years 19 and 20, Arabella's nonprofits took in $2.4 billion. That was more than the DNC and the RNC combined, plus another billion. And then in 22 wow. cycle, which that's an off year, right? Surely that would have gone down some. No, it went up. $3 billion this time, more than the DNC and RNC, plus the Democrat Senate and House committees, and the Republican Senate and House committees.
Yeah.
Half a billion more than all of that.
So this is what we're up against in these major elections, is this dark money coming into the game and really swaying people. Who else is involved? I mean, who are some of the other players in this?
Well, we mentioned Mr. Soros. We mentioned Hans-Jürg Wyss. You also have Zuckerberg giving them tens of millions. You have Warren Buffett is also a major donor to them. He sends it to one of their funds, and between Buffett's money and Arabella, they're just about the biggest advocates in the country on all the abortion issues. You have... Pierre Omidyar, eBay billionaire, is another big donor, plus institutional donors. So never forget about the Ford Foundation. You know, the Ford Foundation gives to pretty much every evil thing that Soros gives to. So it's just, and then other foundations as well, so on and on. It's a staggering array of groups and foundations and donors.
Yeah, you made the comment that when you start getting into this, they all have the same last name, Foundation.
Yes. A lot of really bad foundation. I mean, people are vaguely aware that, yeah, the Ford Foundation's kind of liberal, right? It's like, no, it's as bad as Soros. That's what it is.
So if I understand you correctly, a lot of these foundations pop up and are fighting for a particular cause. Nobody's ever heard of them, but all of a sudden there they are. They got lots of money behind them. They work their magic, and then they disappear. Is that right?
Often, yes. Often something is concocted just for a particular election or a particular issue. Yes.
Yeah.
And it can be popped out of existence just as quickly as it popped into existence.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing to me. And they come on the scene, and nobody knows who they are or where they are or who's backing them. And then as soon as the issue's over, they quietly just go away and pop up somewhere else under a different name. I mean, it's really kind of an ingenious
plan. And in a lot of cases, I mean, okay, it's dark money because it's not obvious where it's coming from. And also it's dark motivation, too. I mean, what's the do you have a few that you've stumbled across in your research and you came across it and you thought, oh, my gosh, nobody knows those guys are bad guys. I mean, are there some that are particularly good that people have been really drawn into?
You know, if you think about lots of, because somebody else who gives them money, for instance, would be like League of Conservation Voters.
Okay.
You know, there are plenty of nice little ladies who are sending checks in to the League of Conservation Voters, you know, because they like the outdoors, right? They don't, their donors are not necessarily anything like as twisted as, you know, the mega donors are.
We did a thing a long time ago about the Humane Society of the United States, and HSUS was like, wow, much, much darker than we thought. And there were tons of people, what? They're all about saving dogs and cats. And it was kind of like, there's more to it.
Exactly. It's you know, the folks who write the direct mail campaign letters are not necessarily terribly honest people.
Yeah. And so how do you know? Sorry we're like shotgunning this, but it's like there's just so many questions, right? So you get a thing in the mail or you get something in your email, either way. I always look at the bottom, see where it comes from, and then I go look at them. But you've done a ton more research. What's the smart play on this? How do you figure out who's the good guy and who's masquerading?
I'll give you one more trick. I mean, you're right to, of course, go to the bottom and see, so what's at the bottom here? You know, claiming is the group behind it. But often the better way to do it is to go to the donate button and start going through the motions that you're going to give them money, but look real carefully at each page that's showing up, because often you'll discover, oh, the group that's going to get the money is some other totally different name.
Oh, and they have to divulge that on the pages?
Well, eventually, you know, there's no perfect rule for all examples,
sure.
But you will often find that there's another name. You know, it'll take you to Act Blue or something, and it'll say this is going to benefit the blah 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 fund. Mm-hmm. And your thought is, well, it didn't say the blah 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 fund on the email I was first. You know, I read that to start with. So that's another way. But I have a much better way though for you in general, which is Capital Research Center, where I work, and who's is really the author of this book, because it's years of work by lots of colleagues. We have a wonderful online Wikipedia of the left, and it's called InfluenceWatch.org. InfluenceWatch.org.
I'll be posting that immediately on the page for
it
today.
It has, 13,500 entries, the last I checked. And that's everything. That's foundations, donors, activists, Arabella groups, unions, you know, you name it, in the special interest world, and we've got it. And so that is, you know, you should be bookmarking that, and you should always be checking things, groups out like that. I will say, most of my job in life is just bragging about my colleagues' work. So I love the fact that when I go testify to Congress and I talk to the staffers on the committees, they'll say, oh, we know all about Influence Watch. We vet every witness against Influence Watch.
Oh, no
or
kidding.
Or I go talk to a conservative foundation. I'm asking for money, and they say, oh, we love Influence Watch. Whenever we get some new group asking us for money, we vet it on Influence Watch.
So Influence Watch is not just the bad guys. It's everybody that's involved. In
well, we do have non-lefty folks on there as well, but there are more lefties than righties on the site.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And the only reason for that is because if you want to find out about, you know, the Koch Foundation, well, there are a dozen lefty places that'll tell you everything you could ever want to know.
Well, plus they have Politico and MSNBC and CNN, and, you know, they have a pretty good outreach program currently, the left does.
You know,
there are a lot of Capital Research Center is replicated on the left by lots of groups.
Sure.
Not so much on the right.
You mentioned the Koch Foundation. You know, there was a time when they were pretty influential in politics, gave to a lot of organizations. What happened there? I mean, you don't hear much about them.
Well, there's a couple of things. One is that they're no longer as closely aligned with the political party as they used to be. So, around 2016, they were not pleased with the Republican Party going for Trump, and they started to pull back from politics, and especially from party politics. So they just became less engaged than they had been.
Okay. All right.
That makes sense. So what other fun things do we need to know? What other scary things do we need to know? Maybe I should say that.
Well, the book has just story after story. I'll give you another one because, you know, what was one of the big news stories this week? The Biden administration came out with new regs related to Title IX, right, from the Department of Education. So those are the regs that deal with things like men and women's sports and also with how sexual harassment claims will be dealt with on college campuses. And the Trump administration under Education Secretary Betsy DeVos had made those regs much better. So they made it so you had much more due process if you were accused of sexual harassment in college. And also they made it so that there wouldn't be men and women's sports for colleges and high schools and the like. Well, of course, the lefties didn't like that. And here is how the Arabella Network responded to that. All the way back in 2019, so 2 years before the Biden administration's even sworn in on day one, you have a very secretive group that I'm proud to say one of my colleagues uncovered, but a very secretive group working mainly with Harvard Law School folks, was putting together dozens and dozens of very sophisticated legal memoranda that strategized about how to change all kinds of regulations, including those regulations. And, you know, for those of you who've never had to suffer working in D.C. and figuring out what the regulatory process is, it's Byzantine. It's a stunningly complex thing to create and to modify regulations. And I'll spare you the details, but I had to deal with that some when I was in the White House. And it's a very complicated machine, and you need very sophisticated people to figure out the best ways for each monkeying with each particular reg you want to change. So this was entirely funded by Soros money. The head of Soros's main foundation was the guy pushing the money, and he was also the guy, he put himself on the board of the group even. And they ran the money through the Arabella Network. But they also had created a secret website, right? You can make a website that is not seeable by Google or DuckDuckGo or any of the search engines, right? But if I gave you the little website address and you typed it in your computer, then you could go into the website. But otherwise, you could never find it. No one would ever be able to find it. Well, so they did this, and they worked with lots of people, including the head of the whole regulatory process for the Biden administration, right? So, and they also went out and recruited various allies who would have power within the departments once the departments come under, you know, their preferred political party's control. And they did all kinds of things with regs, including those Title IX regs that just finally got settled in a new bad way by this administration. So that's a fascinating story of how all that happened. By the way, let me give you one ironic tidbit to this. That guy who was the head of the Soros main foundation, who put himself on the board and, you know, was obviously a big driver of this, he picked for the person to be running the project a young lady who maxed out to his political campaign when he was running for Congress. She maxed out in donations to him, even though she listed her employment as a student at law school. So, gosh, isn't it fascinating?
Wow.
She has thousands of dollars lying around as a student at law school to max out to this guy.
Yeah, because when I was a student, I was a major political donor.
So you really have to wonder what's going on there, and I think what we can say with certainty is she's just very lucky her last name was not D'Souza.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So another thing I kind of wanted to touch on was talk to us a little bit about the new venture fund and the 1630 fund, because we hear about the 1630 fund in the news every once in a while, but I don't think people really understand what it's all about.
Sure. Those are the two largest and the two most important of those half dozen nonprofits I said were in the middle of the pyramid, right?
Mm-hmm.
We also call them umbrella nonprofits because they have underneath them, they have dozens or even hundreds of the little fake groups that they create. So the New Venture Fund was the very first thing the very first nonprofit that the Arabella folks ever created. It is a 501c3. Now that just means it's a charity, right? So like your place of worship, you know, like the Boy Scouts, Salvation Army, if people write a check to it, they get a tax deduction for writing the check to that charity. And, of course, a charity is not supposed to be meddling in politics, theoretically. And the 1630 Fund, on the other hand, is a 501c4. Again, that's a political nonprofit like the NRA or League of Conservation Voters. And it can meddle in politics a lot. In fact, it can give money to super PACs, even though, as I said, a Swiss foreign national billionaire cannot. So they're the two oldest and biggest of the half dozen groups that Arabella has created and runs. And it matters that they're a C3 and a C4, because one of the advantages of a C3 is that it has a lot of advantages on the fundraising side, because it's easier to get people to donate to something where they'll get a tax write-off.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, if you are a foundation, right, a private foundation like Ford or MacArthur, Carnegie, all these things, you can easily give your money. In fact, normally you would only give your money to a C3 like that. So New Venture has a super easy time getting money from the Gates Foundation or the Ford Foundation or the Soros' Open Society Foundation, etc. On the other hand, a C4 political nonprofit has great advantages on politicking, right? It can lobby with virtually no restrictions. It can lobby. It can endorse candidates. It can give money to super PACs. So it can take out Facebook ads that are helping candidates or hurting candidates. So it has more oomph on the political side. So one of the things that Arabella offers people is the ability to create matching pairs of these two types of organizations so you can maximize fundraising on one side and politicking on the other. Now,
hold that thought, Scott. I hate to interrupt this because it's a cliffhanger. We have to take a really quick break. The difficulties of live radio. But, you know, we do like capitalism, so we'll let them advertise. And you will get all this information. I've updated you with the Influence Watch and all that stuff on the site at wethepeopleradio.us.
So if you're dreaming about California, it don't matter at all where you've played before. California's a brand new game.
You know, we've been playing that song on and off for about 14 years, and I have to say it because every time I hear it, it gets funnier because you just keep making more bad decisions.
So we were talking about the
C4. 501c3s and C4s, and I think people just kind of glaze over when that happens, but it's really important to know that those are different, they have restrictions, and there's a reason that they do them that way.
Sure.
Oh, there it is.
As I was saying, you know, the C3s, the charities, they are maximized for fundraising. The C4s are like the NRA, League of Conservation Voters. Those are political nonprofits. They're maximized for political impact in lobbying and electioneering. So it's one of the things that Arabella does for folks is you got to understand how this sort of process works, right? Have fun. Imagine you're a nice little left-wing billionaire and you want to do something, like maybe you want to really push for abortion or you want to really take over North Carolina's politics, something like that, right? So you got a mission, and you walk into their offices one morning in D.C., and you explain, you know, that's what I want to do. I really want to do fight hard on abortion. So they will say, okay, that's great. We're going to create for you a matching pair of C3 and C4 groups. We're going to have, you know, Americans for Abortion Rights, and that'll be the charity, and then we're going to have Americans for Abortion Rights Action Fund, and that'll be the C4. And you write a check to the New Venture Fund for the charity, and you write a check to the 1630 Fund for the Action Fund, right? And then, by the way, the fascinating question is whether folks sometimes write both checks to New Venture, and then New Venture sends the money over to 1630. We don't have direct evidence that they've done that in an improper way, but I can tell you that the New Venture Fund gives the 1630 Fund tens of millions of dollars a year. And it would be very interesting to know just what that was going for.
So is that legal?
This is the problem with the nonprofit world. It is so complicated. Almost anything could theoretically be legal if under certain circumstances, right? But you never know if those very particular complicated circumstances happened, right? Did they document all this? Did they carefully keep track of things? Did their auditors check these things out? We don't know. So it could be. It also could not be. And we don't know. You can give up on the idea that the IRS is ever going to police this because, first of all, they don't have the personnel to police the tax exempt sector, really. But the other thing is, to the extent they do have anybody working on this, they're all lowest learner. It's always going to be lowest learner. You're never going to have fair-minded bureaucrats who are going to treat the left and the right the same, any more than lowest learner did. So you should pretty much give up on the IRS doing anything on this. But I will tell you, for any given state in the country, in almost every state, there is somebody who is empowered to police the nonprofit sector in that state, and it's the state attorney general. So you could have state attorneys general demanding investigations, demanding their books, looking into all of this, shutting them down in their state if, in fact, they appear to have done bad things.
Hmm. So it's a web. It's a web.
So basically, out here in our state, we're screwed. We won't be finding any good facts for you. I'm sorry. In the future, I don't think Rob Bonta is into that sort of thing.
Yeah, California, New York, Illinois. Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
But now I will say there is a lawsuit in D.C. That a former employee of Arabella has filed, alleging that. A number of things, alleging that they discriminated against her as a black woman, but also that they retaliated against her when she pointed out that they were violating the tax-exempt laws. Now, that lawsuit's been going on for a year or two. It's probably going to keep going on for at least a year or two. She already has a bunch of documents on the public record from it that certainly look very dubious, and some reporters have dug into those and spoken to legal experts. And, maybe there'll be something that comes out of that civil lawsuit.
And that's really kind of the last thing they want, is a bunch of public scrutiny on a lot of these nonprofits. They kind of like to operate in the shadows, don't they?
Absolutely. Do you know that until our first report on Arabella, which happened in a year in which they had only made it up to the roughly $750 million revenue mark, right? So they were almost on the street starving, right? They've been around for two decades. They were up to $750 million a year in revenue, and not one single news outlet, left or right, had ever explained much of anything about Arabella. There was a tiny bit about 1630 because they were such a big C4 and they were such an important player in, congressional races and things, that they'd been noticed a little bit. But nobody had said, oh, and the 1630 fund is really just one of half a dozen funds operated by this Beltway bandit.
Yeah, I've never heard of any major news agency even mentioning Arabella. I think, weren't you saying the New York Times was one that was kind of following them just a little bit?
Well, again, I would brag on my colleagues. We have now, I want to believe it was 2018 was the first year that we began reporting on all this. And with our pounding on it, year after year, in the last year or two, Arabella has started to squirm under unpleasant scrutiny.
Right.
So, yes, the New York Times has written a few pieces about them and also about Hans-Jürg Wies, in fact, and that have been pretty devastating. Now, again, that's a fraction of the number of pieces they've written on conservative donors, but still, it's something. And Politico has gotten a little better, and the Atlantic, this is my favorite, the Atlantic magazine, left-of-center outlet, and it's a great little story. Give me a second here to tell you the full story, because it's really funny. This is a couple of years ago and it happens just a few weeks before Arabella is going to have to release its IRS public forms that show you how much money they've taken in and everything, right? And it was going to show a staggering amount of money that they'd taken in. Because, again, they just grow and grow. And so their president at the time sat down with the Atlantic magazine for an interview just a few weeks before those all that new information was going to come out. Now, I am certain, I would bet the mortgage, that the reason Arabella sat down with the Atlantic at that time was hoping to have a softball interview that would let them get ahead of the embarrassment of riches that their soon-to-be-released forms provide, right? But, oh, my God, it didn't work out that way. The Atlantic came loaded for bear, and they just kept saying over and over and over again, aren't you just a big dark money outfit like your people attack? Aren't you just a big left-wing dark money outlet just like the folks you attack? And they did it. So I felt sorry for the president of Arabella by the time I was done reading the interview, because she'd been pounded so hard on this, and she didn't have a clue how to respond to that. And she just kept trying to pretend like we're just like a little back office place. We just hire the janitors and have the trash taken away. You know, that's the way. And in fact, finally, the Atlantic person even said, aren't you just the left's equivalent of the Koch brothers? Ooh. And the entire answer the poor woman president could reply was simply, yeah.
Are you kidding?
Absolutely not. It's in the, you can find it in the footnotes, and I encourage you to go read it. It is a scream. By the way, the other thing that was magnificent about that interview, they asked very thoughtful, probing questions that bear an extremely strong resemblance to criticisms I had made of Arabella in the Wall Street Journal.
Oh.
So they clearly had read my Wall Street Journal article and were pitting her with the very criticisms
Is this called Meet Arabella Advisors, the Left's Dark Money Manager?
Yes. It's something like the
massive,
biggest dark money network you've never heard of.
Yeah, the massive progressive dark money group you've never heard of. When you click on the link, actually, that's the name of the article. Oh, I'll post that.
Yes, It is a scream. And the subtitle is something like...
Over the past half decade, Democrats have quietly pulled ahead of Republicans in untraceable political spending. One group helped make that happen.
Yes.
Kudos to you, Emma Green from The Atlantic.
Now, is that the same interview that resulted in exposing who the donors were and the amounts that they were donating that they didn't want exposed?
They just simply worked off of how big they are and how they're totally nothing but what the lefties claim the conservatives are doing.
Interesting. Wow. And that gets, you know, really no airtime because they're always, you know, yammering about the Koch brothers. Although that is really kind of... That's really kind of faded in the past few years. You don't hear much about them anymore.
That's right.
Wow. It's kind of funny, though. Very, very disconcerting. So nothing will change, right? I mean, that's not gonna move the needle, like, unlikely, right?
Well, it's not going to shut them down. They have struggled a little bit. That woman who gave that disastrous interview, she resigned to, and I kid you not, spend more time with family, close quote.
Oh, sure.
Just weeks after the disastrous interview appeared. And then they had an interim guy, and he didn't last that long. Now they have a new guy. They've had to lay off about 10% of their workforce. Now, part of that is just that, you know, once Donald Trump's not in office, it's harder to raise money for left-wing things, right? I'm not expecting to see them shut down any day. But, again, think about that Wizard of Oz image, right? They are the Wizard of Oz. They put out big, scary-looking things for the public, but if you look behind the curtain, it's just some goofball...
Yeah,
setting a website up in the D.C. office.
It's not the whole big operation that they want you to think it is.
Yeah, so it does hurt it when that when Toto pulls the curtain back and you see that it's not what it seems to be, that's, you know, that's putting some real
that
damage
is not good.
To them.
We're up against a hard break. We're going to come back with our guest, Scott Walter. We're speaking about his brand new book here in April of 2024 called Arabella. And when we return, he's going to talk to us about how they have actually changed America and undermined our freedoms. You are listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
I'm going to do bad things, do it like it's nothing. It's never felt so good. I'm gonna do bad things. You won't see it coming. Watch your step. I've been thinking of doing bad things to you.
Second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery. They're our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. Go up and see them. They've got pretty much everything you can imagine when it comes to John Deere. They've got mowers, tractors, attachments, and a full line of the electric lawn care products. They've got it all up there in stock, ready to go. Or you can give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226. Or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da! All right. So the first hour went super, super, super fast. We really appreciate you staying on with us, Scott. This topic is not a... This is not a short discussion, obviously. And how long did it take you to write this book, just out of curiosity?
Well, you really ought to say about 5 years, because, again, the book is largely a compilation of year upon year of research.
That's
that
what I
we
figured.
Did.
Yeah, there's no way you could just sit down and, you know, let's expose these guys. Let's do a little homework. No, this had to be pulling in, I mean, a lot of people and a lot of information.
Well, so many different directions, so many different tentacles to look at, you know, what to put in and what to take out, you know. It's
so you're one of the things here that on our cheat sheet that Stephen listed for us, you know, was how they have changed America and undermined our freedoms, since that's kind of part of the assertion of the book. And I know we've explained lots of different things. Bill's particularly fixated on the Buffett, the Warren Buffett
Well, no, not
thing
the Warren Buffett one. The Fix the Court and Demand Justice.
Oh, that first.
Those
okay.
two were after, I mean, they popped up and all of a sudden were after every Supreme Court pick Trump had. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I sure can. This actually is the origin story of how we ever uncovered Arabella in the first place, right? So, again, let me tell a little bit of a story here. But you go back to the summer of 2018, I think it is, right? So Justice Kennedy says he is going to be stepping down from the Supreme Court. And Kavanaugh would eventually be named to replace him. But even before Kavanaugh was picked as a nominee, this thing called Demand Justice swung into action and started attacking the Senate Judiciary Committee, then under the control of a Republican from Iowa, Charles Grassley. The committee was being attacked. The president was being attacked, and even without a nominee. And it was all being done by something called Demand Justice. And I had a friend at the Senate Judiciary Committee call me up and say, none of us have ever even heard of Demand Justice. We can't find anything out about it. You know, what should we do? What's going on? And that's where we dug into it and discovered that the reason nobody'd heard of it is because the fellow who started it had just gone to a Soros Democracy Alliance meeting. The Democracy Alliance is about 100 and some left-wing billionaires and centimillionaires that get together to plot their political giving twice a year. And this guy had pitched them on his new group, Demand Justice, which would be attacking every single judicial nominee of the president. And he'd gotten a couple of million bucks from Soros to get himself launched, and the money had gone through Arabella. So specifically through that 1630 fund that we were talking about before the break. So we figured that part out, but then we, unlike the other folks who had uncovered 1630 fund, we wanted to understand, well, what's 1630 fund, right? Now it has this new project called Demand Justice, but what is it? And the answer was, oh, well, it's one of a half dozen nonprofits controlled by Arabella Advisors. And they do all these other things. So Demand Justice was, as soon as Kavanaugh was named, you have Demand Justice organizing rallies at the Supreme Court with, you know, dozens of lefty groups all screaming the world's coming to an end because Kavanaugh has been nominated. And there's a picture in the first, in the introduction, which I bet you got a big chuckle out of. You can see the pre-printed signs, right? Stop Kavanaugh, stop Barrett, stop Etheridge, and what? Right? They pre-printed every possible name because they, of course, they didn't care who it was. They were going to attack whoever it was. So that's Demand Justice. To this day, they still are active. They were the main people harassing Justice Stephen Breyer, a Democrat appointee, trying to get it to force him to retire, which he did, finally. And they're also now pushing hard to pack the court, right? And then you also have the Fix the Court, which is another Arabella group. Now, remember we talked about the matching pairs of C4 mm-hmm. and C3? Well, Demand Justice is the C4, and Fix the Court is the C3, also burst by Arabella, and it is helping to smear the court to try to force justices to recuse themselves from cases or to have term limits on the court or just in general to denigrate the court and weaken it, its power, and they hope maybe get some of the constitutional respecting judges to go along with the left-wing agenda in court cases. And just recently, to show you how the Arabella is behind so much of what you see in the news, you don't know it. You've probably seen that recently Justice Sotomayor, another Democrat appointee, is being harassed to leave the court because Democrats are scared they lose the presidency or the Senate and they won't be able to get a replacement they like for Sotomayor, so they want to get her off the court now. Well, the first thing that got leaked about her medical records came from, guess what? Fix the Court.
Wow.
So, oh, my gosh.
This is how powerful and influential Arabella is without, you know, you or the average American having any clue about all this stuff going
right,
on.
Right, right. Yeah, because their name never pops up. It's these other little nonprofits or for-profit foundations that we hear about, not knowing they're being funded by Arabella.
Well, who's going to be against Fix the Court?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah,
kind of makes you a bit of a heretic.
That's right.
You should be in favor of Fix the Court. Yeah, Demand Justice. You should like that too.
Yeah.
Now you got to let me tell you a quickie little story on Fix the Court. Though,
tell us all the stories. We live for the stories.
Yeah, well, this is definitely one. You can find it in the footnotes there for the introduction, because this is another one you might want to post for your folks to go read and get a hoot out of. So Fix the Court, you want to talk about a Wizard of Oz operation, right? It's one dork in his apartment. That's it. Right? It's treated like it's some grand. I mean, the New York Times cites it in their editorials. They let the guy write on their editorial page. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, one of the least impressive members of the Senate, and but obsessed with dark money on the right, at least. He cites Fix the Court all the time because, remember, he's sort of the number one guy smearing the Supreme Court. Here's the thing about this little dork, right? So that we noticed that in 2021, even though it had been started at Arabella, in 2021, both these groups, Demand Justice and Fix the Court, got spun out and became independent nonprofits. Now, I dare say that's probably because we've been giving them and Arabella so much grief that it was embarrassing, and they realized I guess we're going to have to throw them out, you know, to be on their own because it's too embarrassing for them to be inside this giant dark money network. So Fix the Court in 2021 becomes independent, which means it has to file its own tax return for the first time. And it filed an easy form, which for a nonprofit, that means you got less than 50,000. You know, you're only allowed to do that if you made less than 50K for the year in revenue. You know, just like you can't file an easy income tax form for yourself if you, you know, if you make over, what is it, 75,000? I forget what the, you know, the limit is. Same thing. So this guy files the postcard, quickie, easy form, which would mean he had less than $50,000. The problem is we saw that a foundation, Lefty Foundation, had given him like $175,000. Arabella, the new venture fund, they've given him like $111,000. So how does that add up to less than 50, right?
Yeah.
So we passed this on to one of our a reporter friend, and the reporter called him up and just said, hey, what's going on with that? And the guy totally freaked out and said, oh, it's a mistake. I've got to refile. I'll refile. I'll send you my refiled ones, right? So he hurriedly refiles and then sends his forms to the reporter. But on those forms, he didn't remember to redact the names of his donors, which you're allowed to redact the names of the donors, right? And usually a charity will. And he didn't do that in the thing he sent. So then he calls the guy up, the reporter up again, hysterical. S-word, I really effed up. Oh, no, my donors are never going to give money to me again. I'm an idiot. I can't do anything right. I can't raise money. I can't give money away. I can't do it. Right. By the way, the guy is a CPA, right? This form is not something that should be too much for him at any stage of all of this, right? And he just has a total meltdown on the record with the reporter, making a complete idiot of himself. And by the way, what does this really mean? It means he absolutely is opposed to disclosures, even though his whole campaign against the Supreme Court is, oh, you got to disclose. They should be disclosing much more than, you know, you can't claim they're not disclosing what they were required to disclose, but instead they've been saying, well, they should have to disclose a lot more. This guy won't disclose anything, including about donors who themselves already had to disclose those donations. I mean, it's idiocy. And then, on top of that, a few days later, we pointed out, and the reporter pointed out, that, hey, guy, you have a whole page on your website that is nothing but political campaigns. Call your congressman and demand this and demand that and blah, blah, right? That's lobbying. But on your the forms that you disclosed, you said you didn't do any lobbying. So how does that work? So the guy repeatedly lies on his disclosure forms and thinks nothing, however, of spending his whole life screaming that there should be much more disclosure for the Supreme Court.
Wow.
And it's all one dork in his apartment.
Did anything ever come of that? I mean, was he ever brought up on any kind of charges or anything or fined? Or?
Well, keep in mind, when you sign any federal form and you lie on it, it's the federal crime of perjury in theory. But as I told you, Lois Lerner is not going to go after the dork in his apartment.
Right. That's great.
You're going to send the FBI FPPC office after the Central Committee treasurer somewhere and track them down. Yeah, probably not because they're not real. Oh, my gosh. Well, this thing almost never ends. As you guys started looking into this, was it just like the rabbit hole of the rabbit hole of the rabbit hole? I mean, how excited were you? I would have been.
Well,
out of my mind, joy.
As I say, I think that Demand Justice and Fix the Court would still be inside the Arabella network instead of just getting checks from Arabella as independent groups had we not made all of this noise and put so much light on them. The more and more in D.C., people at least are coming to know the name Arabella and start asking, like, you know, in congressional committee hearings, you'll have members of Congress say, well, you guys are making all this noise about dark money, but what about the Arabella network? Isn't this nominee of yours connected to the Arabella network? What do you mean dark money is a bad thing? Right? So, you know, they want you to think that right-wingers invented dark money in a lab in Wuhan.
No, it was an open-air market.
So is Fix the Court and Demand Justice, are they still viable? Or are they still up and running, or are they...
Well, I have noticed that after we did this, the Washington Post seemed to stop making use of them. I'm forgetting if I think the New York Times may have done one more time, but, you know, they've both grievously wounded themselves in their ability to be used for this sort of thing.
Sure.
Wow.
So there go the donations and the secret checks.
So do they just have another dork in a back room with a, you know, boop, beep, pops up, and now he's the new golden boy?
That is the standard thing for the left, yes. There is another funny thing like this, which is yet another group that was spawned out of the Arabella world, although now it is spun off as an independent nonprofit.
You know what? Let's not break your story up. Let us take a really quick break. We'll come back and let's do that one because, you know, we do love stories.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really, Scott, I have to say kudos to you because this one time we got this really great book. I won't name it because the book is really great, and it is on our website as one we promote. But we had the author on, and he wasn't really a storyteller. He's kind of – it's like the book was really great, but he didn't promote it. You're actually more fun than the book. But I think everybody should get the book anyway. We are speaking with Scott Walter. His book is Arabella, Exposing the Dark Money. I think you guys are going to really like it. You can find all the information at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Stop me now.
I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball.
Don't stop me now.
If you want to have a good time, just give me a call.
Don't stop me now.
I'm having a good time.
Don't stop me
yes,
now.
I'm having a good time. I don't want to stop at all.
I've done the math, calibrated the imperfections. I got my slide rule from school. You add it up, and it don't add up. Maybe shed some light on it too. And I'm just inches close to the finish. Cross it and bid you adieu. I calculated every combination, every misdirection, every subtle deception. Kickstart my thinking, I was lost in space, staring at a spot on the moon. Negotiating the anticipation of reentering the atmosphere too soon.
That's probably what it seemed like in your head when you were writing the book. Can't go wrong with the headstones.
So you had another story for us.
Tell us a story, Scott.
Oh, that's, you know, now, gosh, I apologize. I'm trying to think. We were talking about the Fix the Court folks.
Yeah. And you said there was another one. We can tell other stories and come back to that story. I know how that goes.
I apologize. It's popped out of my head. But there are no shortage of stories. So you go ahead and whatever you... question you had in the book or
no.
Other stuff. Happy to keep talking.
Let's talk about Warren Buffett.
Told you he was fixated on Warren.
Berkshire Hathaway, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He's another billionaire that likes to fund his pet causes, and his wife has a particular foundation. Let's talk about that and what they're all about.
Well, you're right. Buffett's first wife was Susan Thompson Buffett, and that's what his main foundation is named for. And it is obsessed with abortion, and it runs its abortion monies through Arabella's Hopewell Fund. That's yet another C3 umbrella nonprofit run by the Arabella folks. And in the book, some of the stuff that's especially creepy are these things where they were funding abortion nonprofits that did gruesome experiments in Africa. And, you know, this in a way is the creepiest thing of all the Enviro stuff, right? The population control efforts and desires. And it's painfully obvious that, you know, African folks having babies is supposedly a threat to the rest of us. And, of course, that is not true. And if any conservative ever said something like that, you know exactly what he would be labeled, understandably. And yet that is the sort of thing that Warren Buffett's money is going toward. And, of course, sadly, Bill Gates, who, of course, is a dear friend of his, Buffett is supposedly going to give lots of money to Gates' foundation, already has given lots of money to it. So you have that. And I do have a story for you about the founder of Arabella and his connection to this kind of creepiness. So, you know, whether you're talking the guy who started Arabella or the three women who started the main BLM nonprofit, you typically find that folks either in high school or college, they get radicalized. Really, it's a religious conversion, I think, the way to understand it, right? That turns them into these zealots. Well, that's what happened to Eric Kessler, the founder of Arabella. He was an undergraduate in Colorado, and he heard this Enviro guru give a big speech, and he was so powerfully moved by it that he hitchhiked all the way from Colorado to San Francisco to work for this guru. Now, this guy was no fringe character. He had, for about two decades, he had run the Sierra Club, and he'd been so radical and political that he'd costed its nonprofit status, right, or its charity status. It had been a charity, but he did so many political misdeeds that the IRS back then, actually, this was like 50s or 60s, yanked its charity status. He also started a bunch of other nonprofits, environmentalist aimed, like Earth Island Institute and Friends of the Earth and League of Conservation Voters, which to this day remains a critical partner of the whole Arabella network. But in the 1970s, when he's at Friends of the Earth, he puts together this big fat book, Progress as If Survival Mattered. And it's a whole compendium of Enviro stuff. Now, put your thinking caps on. Now we're supposed to believe that apocalyptic climate change is going to, that's the apocalypse in the environment we're supposed to expect. But back in the 70s, when this book's being put together, what was the apocalypse then in the environment? You remember?
Was it global cooling or ozone layer?
Well, there was some talk about global cooling, and I can remember that personally in my high school science class. But the big thing was the population bomb.
Oh, you're right.
We're all going to die of famine because the Earth is going to collapse under the population, right? Now, of course, we're like double the size, and there's far less starvation. So, as usual, their prophecies, like Al Gore's, don't exactly turn out. But that was the obsession then. So the very first chapter in this book that Arabella's founder's guru put together was on population. And this is what it floated as an idea. Maybe it should, the government should make it illegal to have a child unless the government gives you a license. Oh, no, wait a minute. That may not be enough. Maybe the government should force everyone of childbearing age to take contraceptives. And then if the government decides to give you a license to have a child, you'll get an antidote.
Wow.
Now, oh, my God. So it's an opt-out, not an opt-in.
On the one hand, it's hilarious because it's so nutty. On the other hand, it is so sick, right?
Yeah.
That's, I mean, and that is the guy that had, that gave the founder of Arabella his come-to-Gaia moment. Radicalized him. Turned him into this life of activism. So,
sounds like Bill
now again,
Gates.
You know, I say in the book, hey, look, it is certainly possible that, that the founder of Arabella didn't know that guy believed that. you know, who knows? But no matter what, people who talk like that, and who knows how serious that guy was. I mean, maybe it was just, you know, sometimes you think this is just nutty rhetoric that they do to stir people up or, you know, what, who knows? All I know is these are not people that should be trusted when they are pushing policies, every one of which is going to diminish your freedom as an ordinary American and enhance their power and money.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, is that the kind of person you want to be representing you with anything? I mean, unless you're some kind of whack job, that's just crazy.
Well, it must play. I mean, you know, they scare people with all sorts of stuff. And that's where these dark money groups come in. They start these campaigns that look really professional and well-researched. And, you know, it seems like it's got the backing. The Wizard of Oz thing is the perfect is the perfect deal, Scott, because that's exactly it. It looks like they've got a whole kingdom going on. Yep. Flying monkeys, the whole, you know, they've got all of it.
Yeah.
You can keep the flying monkeys away if you stay here because the wizard's going to save us.
Well, Bill Gates has quite a population control background too, doesn't he?
Absolutely. And, you know, you can learn a lot about philanthropy by watching Gates over the years. So when he and the missus, we should say now, I guess, ex-missus.
Oh, that's right.
When the two of them put together the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, they actually did some population control stuff at the very beginning, but it got some criticism, and they pared almost all of it back.
Mm.
And, you know, so what does that tell you? It tells you that, on the one hand, they've always had these sicko ideas. But on the other hand, they really only created a foundation as a PR stunt, right? That was the initial purpose of having it was... you know, but the most important thing for doing it was just to get good PR. And if something we're doing, you know, gets us some not so good PR, well, then we'll just, you know, who cares? We'll get rid of it, right? I mean, who cares if the planet dies from overpopulation if it's going to hurt our good PR job, right? But they don't even believe their own.
That's commitment
staff,
right there,
right?
Deeply principled.
But then over time, in fact, it's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And the main thing that it gives money for now, the Gates Foundation, that is, to Arabella, the main thing it gives money to is for propagandizing about health policies that he cares about, which, of course, would include population control, but also other health policy stuff that he likes.
Mm-hmm. Now, when they give this money to Arabella, is it earmarked for a particular cause, or does Arabella decide where it goes?
Sometimes they even earmark it publicly. So the Gates Foundation will report on its own IRS disclosure forms. We gave, you know, $20 million to the 1630 Fund for X. But other times it isn't earmarked publicly. But I can tell you that there's very good odds that both sides had a gentleman's understanding of where it was going to go.
Right. Interesting.
Well, I think that they have no really no limits. What's their just from what you've seen? What are they into? Tons of just get out the vote type of stuff or disinformation, or are they?
Well, one of your chapters is about funding the congressional staffs. How's that work?
Yes. You have environmental groups, right, that are very keen to work both with state governments and the federal government to try to harass businesses and just otherwise, you know, push for radical enviro policies. So one of the things that Arabella got mixed up with was funneling money to members of Congress and committees to do investigations of their enemies and, you know, harass them in public. So the only problem is that that may or may not have been legal, because it seems to be pretty clear in the congressional rules that you know, a congressman or a committee can't take money from outsiders to do investigations, or can't have, you know, staff members added who get paid by outside places. Because, you know, there's all kinds of rules about how much money members of Congress can spend on their offices, their staff, and the rest. So that was one of the, that's one chapter in the book, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then talk about Brian Zinke a little
Ryan.
Bit. Or Ryan Zinke and his career, let's say.
Sure. His mistake was going to work in the Trump administration because, of course, the multiple different groups have gotten created by Arabella that have very serious names and the rest that really just exist to harass, you know, were created just to harass the Trump administration in a variety of ways. Sometimes it was through, you know, PR campaigns attacking people like then Secretary of the Interior Zinke. Other times it was to flood the agencies of the government with FOIA requests that, you know, just overwhelm them and the rest. So both of those things went on with Ryan Zinke when he was Secretary of the Interior, and they were successful. They harassed him so much that eventually he resigned. And then the fellow Bernhardt, who took his place, he also got attacked and attacked and attacked, so much so that he was I don't think Bernhardt was ever even put up for a Senate confirmation vote because so much mud had been slung at him, and he simply stayed as the acting Secretary of the Interior.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he was helpful too. Like with our district out here in Northern California with our dams and all our water problems and stuff, Zinke, not so much. He sent us a pretty bad guy to work on the problems here. But Bernhardt actually came out. He was very helpful. He actually brought out somebody from the solicitor's office who wasn't an evildoer. That was new. So folks out here were pretty happy with him.
No, that's great. The and now, of course, what do you have? The Secretary of the Interior is Haaland.
Yeah, Deb Haaland.
Surprise, surprise.
How could you go wrong?
She had a 98% lifetime voting score from the League of Conservation Voters.
Hmm.
So, it's impressive how this stuff works, and you can be sure all of those oversight groups that Arabella created were not doing any oversight on her and her ties.
Yeah, no, that looked like a pretty bad deal for all those of us out here with you know, so many issues with natural resources, and you put somebody like that in charge, and you go,
yeah.
The steamroller has just fired up, and we're about to get crushed. Let's take a really quick break and come back so that we don't get jammed up at the top of the hour. Let's not forget, Scott. So think about any of the stuff that, because you're the expert, we're not. We're just following along. But we also want to tell people kind of what they can do if you guys have discovered some things that if only the general public would know. Let's give them that info. You are
sure.
Listening to We the People. We are talking with Scott Walter. His book is Arabella, and we definitely recommend you should get it. I think you'll learn a lot. You'll learn a lot more than you actually heard today. We've only scratched the surface. You can
right.
find the information at
wethepeopleradio.us.
Do for good.
There you go. There's the theme song for Arabella the musical.
Yeah. We've done quite a few shows on marijuana. Can you talk to us?
All the illegal cartels and all that stuff.
Yeah, everywhere that's led us. Talk to us about the North Fund, its origins, and what's going on with that.
Well, the North Fund is, again, one of those middle-of-the-pyramid nonprofits that Arabella has cooked up. And one of the most interesting things about it is that it only got started a few years ago. And I think, again, the fact that they bothered to start it up suggests that our exposure of Arabella is really having an effect. You know, it's another C4, but they already had the 1630 fund. And, you know, why do they need more C4s? Unless, of course, we're making it too radioactive to give money to or get money from the 1630 fund. So the North Fund set up to be yet another one, and it does a lot of different things, but one of the biggest things it does is put tons of money into state ballot initiatives. And, of course, in California, you know, your ballot initiatives make a huge difference in your state's politics, right? And one thing for ballot initiatives is you can often get things accomplished through a ballot initiative that you can't get done in the legislature. And also you can use ballot initiatives to drive certain constituencies to the polls, right? So in the case of a ballot initiative, for instance, about marijuana, you may be able to jack up the turnout of young people who overwhelmingly vote for one political party because they care about that. Or we saw in the last year or so in Ohio, big abortion initiative, to try to drive, women to the polls. So that's the kind of thing that the North Fund and other Arabella nonprofits specialize in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's just a million tentacles to this Arabella that are kind of surprising, funds you've never heard of.
How do you see this playing in with the election at the end of the year?
Well, there's another chapter, as you know, in there about talking about some of the groups that they pop into existence just for affecting the actual administration of elections, which is one of the scariest things out there. So if we back up a little bit, folks will remember from the 2020 elections that Zuckerberg gave hundreds of millions, over $400 million, to two C3 charities that in turn gave that money out to government election offices at the state and local level. And on our website, capitalresearch.org, we put, you know, we don't hide anything. We document everything. You can go there and you can see all the data in Excel spreadsheets. You can download it and crunch the numbers for yourselves. What we were able to show with the Zuckbuck donations is they overwhelmingly went in the battleground states. The money overwhelmingly goes to Democrat vote-rich jurisdictions to jack up the turnout. Well, obviously, if you jack up the turnout in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and whatnot in Pennsylvania, well, you can win Pennsylvania and in Wisconsin. You jack it up in Racine and Milwaukee and whatnot, same thing. So that's what was going on with those Zuck bucks. Now, the group that got most of Zuck's bucks, about almost $350 million of them, something called the Center for Tech and Civic Life, well, guess what we discovered a year after the election? We discovered that Arabella's new venture fund had put $25 million into that nonprofit in the election year of 2020. Now, there were all kinds of fights and arguments. You still sometimes hear it like, oh, none of that Zuckerberg money had anything partisan about it. That's crazy talk. Well, if Arabella gave $25 million the same year to the main place getting the Zuck bucks, nobody, as we said before, the New York Times, the Atlantic, you know, nobody pretends anymore that Arabella is not a, you know, a huge Democratic powerhouse. So if they were giving $25 million to the same place, that should totally end the question, was this a partisan operation? But, of course, we didn't know that because they didn't have to disclose it until a year later. Now, there's a chapter in the book that talks about, okay, so that's 2020, but we're 4 years away from 2020 now. Well, guess what? The same group, Center for Tech and Civic Life, that got the 350 million Zuckbucks is still around and is trying to get around bans on Zuckbucks. Because, gosh, it's funny, 28 states now have passed laws to restrict that kind of private money going into government election offices. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Shocking. But anyway,
they're just trying to
so
know.
They have. So what does the group that put $350 million of that out there, what is it doing? Well, the answer is it's concocting new ways to accomplish the same thing, but without just writing checks to your local election registrar. So guess what? It has 8 partners to work with it in this scheme. And not one, but 2 of the partners are just fake groups popped up by the Arabella Network. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
By the way, it's Institute for Responsive Government and Center for Secure and Modern Elections. Now, you're not against secure and modern elections,
That's
are you?
That's right.
Oh, yeah. You heretic.
That's what cracks me up about these groups is that when you look at the name, it's like, oh, well, that's me. I'll vote for that. Yeah, you got to do your homework.
Exactly.
But it actually works. I mean, they keep doing it because it works. People do vote for it.
Well, not always. I'll tell you, just this last week or so, somebody pulled out. The way they do it is they go to your local election office. The Zuckbuck entity, the Center for Tech and Civic Life, they have created something called the Alliance for Election Excellence. Again, you're not opposed to that, right?
No.
But
no.
So the way that works is the Alliance calls you up and says, hey, Aaron, you're a registrar of this county here. We're going to name your county a Center of Election Excellence. And you go, oh, that's so great. I've never gotten such – I deserve recognition like that. That's wonderful. And then they're going to say, okay, now you owe us dues. And you say, whoa, I don't have that in my budget. What are you talking about? Oh, don't worry. You don't have to give us any money. We'll give you a scholarship to cover your dues. And the scholarship will be in credits that you can spend at our wonderful partners in election excellence, like those two Arabella groups. So they'll help you and by the way, you know what we're going to do? We're going to come up with an improvement plan for your office. So you can be even excellenter.
Your excellence will be oozing out of your pores by the time we're done with you.
Yeah, and you're going to have all this money to distribute.
Do they offer to do like is any of this hardware involved? Like, you know, we'll help you with your machines. We'll train
your
people.
Oh, yeah, we'll buy you. Well, keep in mind, vote by mail, which, vote by mail was always understood to be something that seriously degrades election integrity, right?
Yes.
After the 2000 election, which had all the disputes with Bush and Gore, you had James Baker, a famous Republican, poobah, and Jimmy Carter himself. They did a bipartisan thing on how elections could be better run, and it was crystal clear. They were emphatic that vote by mail, absentee voting, is one of the biggest detriments to election integrity that you could have. Everybody knew that. Nobody pretended that wasn't the case. Now, of course, for some odd reason, all these lefty groups are obsessed with vote by mail and expanding it ever more. It's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they figured out how to make it work. Amazing.
Exactly.
So
my research director got ballots he lives in Maryland. He got ballots for, I think it was 5 persons who no longer live at his address, but he got ballots in the mail for them.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's election integrity at its finest.
Yeah, because if it happened to him, how many times did it happen to other people, and how many times did those ballots got filled out and sent in?
Of course. Well, so for people out there listening, I mean, there's always I'm always opposed to, the the show about life sucks and then you die. I mean, I never want that to be the takeaway. So on a deal like this, besides knowledge is power, right? I mean, if we're going to go cliche, this book really lines out and really helps you see around the corner of how all this network is there. Of course, the names will change over time, but the pattern is still good.
Right.
What can regular people who, you know, maybe they're not massive donors, they're just regular folks living in town, you know, just want to kind of be smart about stuff.
Yeah, what can we do to slow this down or stop it? Is there anything?
Well, I have several ideas. The first one, again, is to go back to that influencewatch.org website we run.
Yep.
And by the way, if you find a group that's not on there, because, of course, they're always metastasizing, you know, just send us an email and let us know. We love putting, you know, it's invaluable to get that kind of intel, and then we'll dig into them and write them up. But I love it. I see people writing letters to the editor of their local newspaper regularly all over the country. And they expose stuff that's going on right then and there in their community using knowledge they got from Influence Watch. So that's really valuable right there. The Wizard of Oz only works as long as the curtain hides the guy behind it. So that's one thing. Another thing is you can ask, if you're in most states or some states, you can ask your state attorney general to look into the shenanigans that are going on. You can talk to folks in Washington. You know, there are bills that would deal with some of these problems. For instance, there's a bill in Congress right now that says if you are a C4 political nonprofit and you get money from foreign nationals, then you're not going to be allowed to give money to super PACs because the foreign nationals aren't allowed to give money to super PACs.
Mm.
That's one bill. Another bill is that C3 charities aren't going to be able to donate to local election offices, right? That will not be recognized as acceptable for a C3 charity because they already can't do things like they can't donate to a political campaign.
Right.
So that's one thing. And then you have another bill that's there saying that they can't use C3 groups and monies to register voters. So that would also be a useful thing. So there's definitely some hope. Plus, please don't let anybody despair just because you don't have billions of dollars, right? The number one agenda item for the left is to shut you up if you are not a lefty.
Yep.
So you may feel powerless, but they would not need to shut you up if you really were powerless. The truth
right.
is very powerful.
Well, the other thing, too, is the danger with all of this, and I know that that's all part of the program, is to make people feel like it doesn't matter if they vote. And like in our last election here, I know a lady who was running for a local political party committee. She won by 3 votes. So 3 people made the difference on that. Everybody counts. It may not, you know, you get kind of lost in the shuffle, especially in California on a Republican presidential ticket, but the rest of it's all super, super important.
Yeah.
And if they can get you to not vote, well, hey, they don't have to cheat.
Yeah. No,
exactly.
Voting is, you have to vote. Whether you agree with the process or not, you have to vote. Make it, otherwise you're just handing it to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Make them have to work to cheat. And I have to point out, too, I was messing around on the Influence Watch website, and I clicked on your link to Twitter that now we have to call X, which we still call Twitter, so go figure that out. But all of your posts are all the different, you know, this foundation, Ponder, what is it, Latin X, Latinx? I don't know what it is. What is that? It's a voter advocacy group that focuses on increasing Latino voter registration. You guys have great information, just these little posts, Pipeline Fund. So even if all you did was just check your feed on a weekly basis, even if you don't want to do it every day, you could stay abreast of, you know, who's doing what with whom.
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know anything we missed. We have like another minute or something. We don't want to just waste it. Scott,
well,
back to you.
Again, you know, I'll give you another example of why people shouldn't despair, even in California. because, you know, if you think about it, people who believe in America's founding principles have been defeating richer, bigger empires ever since some backwood colonials knocked down the greatest empire the world had ever seen. So, and again, never forget, they're terrified of you telling some other American the truth. It takes all these billions and all these hundreds of groups and all the rest for them to basically hold even, right?
Yeah.
So they are not invulnerable. They are not Superman.
No, and the more you tell, the more she's knocking on the window. What does that mean?
Well, I don't know.
Are we out of time? No, we are out of time. Okay. I don't know. Our clock must be wrong. Scott? Thank you so much for being on with us, and we definitely want to hear more stories at some point in the future.
Well, thanks so much.
If that works for you.
And the book is Arabella, and go get it.
Run out and get Arabella, and
it's a great read.
Send the show out. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Oh, I just try to make believe that everything you're telling